Okay, and then I just gotta get this pulled up here. Proposed layout of recording. Okay, and intro. Hello, welcome to the world of Pokemon. My name is Lydia, and these guys do not call me their game master, but I'm just giving you a quick introduction into this part 2 of episode 122 on Pokemon Rollout, a real play Pokemon Tabletop United RPG podcast. We have Paul as Charlie, Michael as Professor Sneeze, me, Lydia, as Liliana, and Nick as our game master. Okay, that should be good enough. All right, and go.
Liliana, how do you think Ruse would react to this Crabominable, now realizing that there's something here that might be taller than it expects, immediately trying to grab a hold of her in her illusion?
I feel like she's gonna try it. Like, I mean, at this point, she's not gonna be able to play it off because it knows, but I think she's going to use that to her advantage and just kind of like turn to it with a mischievous grin and see how she can mess with it before the other ones notice too.
Okay, so it's going to actually grab at her, so...
Or she would just try to start climbing it instead, I would think. So would I do acrobatics for her?
Let's say she's trying to, like, jump up on top of it immediately. So yes, give me a quick acrobatics check.
Yeah. Okay. 16.
16. All right, it doesn't realize fast enough what she's going to do, and now there is a little girl perched on top of this thing's head. And so there's a moment as, like, that one's trying to tug down Charlie. The other two are standing on top of Liliana and Professor Sneeze. And now suddenly Ruse is on top of one of their heads. And that one just kind of, you see just for a second, frost start to ring around its claw. And then it swings towards its head with an ice punch.
Mm.
Here's what I'm going to...
Stop hurting yourself.
Here's what I'm going to say for this. What is Ruse's whole... Okay, so Ruse's... She's got 4 as her highest evasion. Ice Punch is a 2 AC. Since it's on top of its head, here's the way I'll say it. And it won't hurt it very much if it does it because it's an ice type. But if it rolls 10 or less, it hits itself in the head. If it rolls 11 yes. or more, it hits Ruse. So...
A good old 50-50.
It rolled a 15, so it smacks Ruse.
Oh, no.
It does a pretty solid thing and smacks Ruse in the there, and it does. 1 second. Luckily, all these guys are slow. But this one, of course it's number 4. Well, that's...
For who?
No,
this
one.
I don't like this anymore.
Sorry, we're going in reverse order because I just remembered I reversed these from weakest to, or not from weakest to strongest, but I actually optimized number 4, which means it would have won the fist fight. So number 1 is the one that's punching it. Here's the difference. The number 4 would have done 3d12 plus 40 damage. Cool. This one is doing 3d8 plus 38 damage. Hmm.
Slightly better.
Okay.
A little better.
That's 47, 47 ice physical damage.
Oof.
At least it wasn't a fighting type move.
Right.
Yeah. That's almost half.
Also, can I get an acrobatics check from Ruse?
Yes. Oops. Oh my, 18.
18, all right, so... This goes thwomps Ruse on the side, and now suddenly there is a Zoroark that looks very upset, standing on top of this thing's head, having barely managed to keep from it being dislodged. Top of the order means that Charlie is first.
Mm.
This does not mean that combat has to happen, but let me just say this, Ruse is going to keep doing combat unless convinced otherwise, and so is that Crabominable.
Fair enough.
Charlie, having dodged this thing a few times and is playing around with it,
And it's like, oh, you're a fun boy. Hey, I think you're trying to like climb up at me. Have you ever seen a Turtonator before? Because I got a really, really big one, and I bet you'd have a really fun time trying to climb it. If you join me, if you come with me, like I have this place where I'm sure there's no, there probably aren't mountains on the Pine Ranches, are there? But
there are anyways. No high places on the Pine Ranch at the moment. No. There are trees.
Yeah, I got
send a letter to your mom, ask her to make some high places.
Exactly.
So a howler suddenly appears in this universe.
But Charlie talks about, yeah, there are some really big Pokemon there that you can try and climb and play around with, and some trees taller than these ones over here. You're gonna have a great time. Do you just want to like? Can I catch you and I can send you there to my ranch? Charlie's gonna roll charm.
Okay.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. Charlie is 22 charming.
Okay, that allows you to get past the barrier. Can I get an intuition check as well?
Yep. With 5d6, right?
3.
That is a 7 in intuition.
It seems excited at the prospect. Professor Sneeze, you might want to let Charlie know that to a crabominable, what Charlie just said was, if you win the fight, if I win against you, then you get to go to a fun place. If not, you stay here. So it basically, they're fighting types. You just offered him a challenge, but it's excited about it.
Charlie, you just challenged it. It's excited for the challenge, but you now you have to fight it.
No, I didn't say that. Fine. Charlie sends out.
These are also not tremendously smart. Let's just put it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Like I said, like just big excited puppies that don't know that they're not puppies anymore. Charlie is gonna send out. Yeah, we're gonna go with Bernie. Bernie's coming out.
Okay, Bernie. How tall are how tall are Blaziken? I should have looked up the heights of all the Pokemon before this battle started.
Yeah, I'm on it too.
6'3".
Ooh.
Bernie is now the tallest thing on the field. So Charlie releases Bernie, and immediately all eyes snap to it.
Okay, well, give Bernie a chance to do something.
Bernie
right?
does go first here, so.
Yes. Although it's still Charlie's turn, just go with the good old go fight win, and we will do show your best, and everyone, all allies on the field will gain a combat stage, and we'll say regular defense. Oh, I'm doing this too early because we don't have lots of Pokemon out.
Okay, combat stage and defense for all Pokemon.
Yeah, we'll still go with that though, and everyone becomes motivated. Which, if one of your combat stages drops below 0, you increase it by 1 combat stage.
Ah, okay.
So throw that stage. Oh, I should take that off, and that off, and that off, and give 1 defense to Bernie. Okay. So, now that that's done, now Bernie's gonna go.
Okay.
And Bernie is going to do Flame Charge.
Okay, dash. What does dash do? Okay.
So I suppose I should roll accuracy.
That would be good.
That is a 7.
Cannot one target. Huh. Okay. And the 7 is high enough that, because remember, this Crabominable still has a hold of Charlie.
Yes.
So.
Alright. So it's 2d6 plus 34.
Yeah. Let me make sure that was a hit. That was a hit.
Alright, so then that's 9 plus 34, 43, fire, physical damage.
43, fire is defense, then weakness.
Yes.
That did 41 fire.
We'll take that.
Which is not enough to give it an injury. Crabominable who is holding on to Charlie, doesn't quite manage to get Charlie between itself and Bernie before it gets hit, but it takes a solid burn from it and kind of rocks back on its heels, then back up and is like, okay, something really tall's on the field now, so we can go after it. Ruse is up next. She definitely wants to use a damaging move on the one that attacked her.
And I was thinking Fury Swipes for that one.
Fury Swipes, like a plan to me.
Ooh, nope, nope, nope. How, that's a one.
Okay, I was about how much of a nope. All right. Well, let's look at the
biggest nope that you can nope.
Critical fumble table.
I'm sorry.
It's a great thing of... There's a great thing I saw a while back that's like, I don't know much about D&D, but my understanding is that the DM can decide whether or not they're doing a heist, but the players get to choose the background music, and whether it's the whether it's Ocean's 11, Pink Panther, or Benny
Hill. It's always Benny Hill.
The addendum was they don't actually have control over the background music. It's chosen by them, but not by their choice. And it's almost always Benny Hill.
That was pretty good.
This actually works very well from Lauren Polson. They wind up to do the attack, become off balance, and flail slash fall into the closest person slash Pokemon, doing 1d6 typeless damage. So Ruse winds up to do it, but as she winds up to do it, that's when Bernie got released, so it turned quick, and she goes off balance and falls off. Roll 1d6 for me.
Three.
So it does lose 3 HP. I'm just going to take those off of it, because why not? But Ruse fell to the ground, so she's no longer standing on the Crabominable, but she's becoming less happy by the moment, I think. But it is Liliana's turn. The Crabominable that is on top of you, you notice, has almost completely forgotten about you and is looking at Bernie.
Throw some poison powder in its face. Okay. Hopefully. Maybe I'll choose a different d20 this time. I got an 8.
8 with poison powder. You throw it into the air and it gets absorbed into its fur mostly and doesn't seem to do much. Just too low with how poison powder works that it doesn't quite.
Bummer.
Charlie's not here, but I don't think he would have been able to do much with it anyways. Can I get a focus check from everyone?
No.
I know, but you need to roll a focus check, so I was just kind of...
I got an 8.
13.
I'm not back yet, but I'll throw my focus check just for... That's a 1!
Okay.
Oh, yep. No.
Yep. You're in the middle of a bunch of different things. Liliana and Professor Sneeze, you remember that you were here to talk to some pseudo-Udo, that these are probably the other things that were dealing with it, and Professor Sneeze especially, but both of you realize that these things seem to communicate by means of duels and brawls, so maybe advantageous to kind of clarify what you're fighting over before you start fighting.
Professor Sneeze is going to turn to the Crabominable on his back and say, all right, so here's the deal. We would like you and your pseudo-woodo friends here in this grove to be on hand to help out the people who are working at the oil rig and encamped around there. They've got some projects coming up, but it's not going to be too intense for you. Just don't fight them when they need to go where they need to go, and they'll send you on some better fights.
It's about at this moment that you realize that its eyes have glazed over.
And I've talked too much, but you'll help them! And so here we go! Melody coming out! I'm going to send out Melody the Wigglytuff.
Here's the way I'll do it, is it got the words from you, pseudo-Wudo, and by throwing out a Pokemon you want to fight. So it's going, okay, you're fighting to see the pseudo-Wudo. I can deal with that. But you threw out Melody, you said, yes.
Yes, I threw out Melody, and then I'm going to fire a tri-attack up at it.
Okay.
That's 17 to hit.
That is a 17. Hit, wow.
One short of a status, though, isn't it?
No, that is a status.
Oh,
17
is
status.
Really? Wow. Yeah, 17
so,
plus.
So, let's see. That is something.
Ice types immune to freezing.
Isn't it just something? Ice types should be immune to freezing, I think. Let's see. First of all, that's 16, 26, 39. 39 normal special damage. And it's paralyzed.
Okay, that did 23 normal special damage. It's not enough to give it an injury, but it is paralyzed. Okay. So, it's just got that. It's turning towards Melody when multicolored light, mostly yellow, just wells up from underneath it and kind of knocks it into the air a bit. You're able to kind of roll to the side, so now you're no longer underneath it. And it kind of lands and just goes, like, you see it kind of, like, twitch slightly. It's like, it's not so much hurt as it is deeply confused. It's paralyzed, too, but it's just like, what just happened? But it is Melody's turn now.
All right, Melody, use rollout.
Hey.
19.
That hits.
So close.
Wow, yeah.
So close. All right, let's see. 21 damage. 21 rock physical damage.
21 rock physical damage. That did 5 rock physical damage. Still not enough to give an injury, so... Yep, so Melody rolls up into a ball and smashes into the Crabominable, which reacts just as most people would react if a large fluffy thing slammed into it. Mild confusion, adding to its deeper confusion. But there was some damage done, and the rolling is getting faster.
You're trying to fight, you're trying to cuddle. What's going on?
Just happened. But that is all of you in Pokemon, so now it is the Crabominable's turn. So... the Crabominable next to Ruse is like, okay, I guess we're fighting. And it goes and swings back a fist, and it aims with a power-up punch. Power-up punch, 2, 4, and Ruse deftly dodges to one side. And it misses. So it swung for it, but it misses. Mm-hmm. The Crabominable that is... holding on to Charlie is about to let go when the Crabominable that is on top of Liliana bellows something. You were kind of half expecting, because they haven't really said much, they've most been doing things, so you kind of half expecting them to make like the chittering, like foaming sounds of a crab, but instead they're bellowing at each other, which is, you know, kind of in character for them, but that's what they're doing. And so it just bellows something, and the other one kind of looks at it. And you see it kind of hunch of like, oh man. But it turns back to Charlie and continues to try to climb up Charlie. So Charlie, can I get an acrobatics or combat check?
Yep.
Wait, no, you challenged it to battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not do that. Instead, it lifts up one of its fists and goes to slam the top of your head with a rock smash.
Okay.
It hits.
Right. And then they shut it down.
Yes, they did. And it does 42 fighting physical damage.
All right. Well, let's take 8 off of that, so that'll make it 3-4. All right.
And remember, you were healed up to 4 before you came out.
Okay. Yep, Charlie hadn't lost anything, so...
Okay. Yep. So you're good there. So it just slammed you on the top of the head. The paralyzed one gets to do anything because it's in a state of deep confusion. Well, it rolled high enough that it broke out of its paralysis for the moment, but it turns towards, Melody and just kind of sits for a moment, and you start to feel cold air gather around it. But while it is doing that, the one on top of Liliana promptly forgets all about her, sprints across the battlefield and aims a power-up punch straight at Bernie, because it won the fist fight, and that's the tallest thing on the field. So, it hits with power-up punch, so not only does it gains one combat stage after it hits, or one attack combat stage after it hits, but it does 44 fighting physical damage to Bernie.
All right, that should be reduced to half. Double check and make sure.
Fighting, no. Fighting doesn't resist fighting.
It doesn't?
Nope, fighting and fighting are equal. It would be dishonorable to otherwise. I don't know. That's how I feel like was the idea.
All right, 4-4 then. Let's take off some from his defense first, though. So it's going to be 13, so 4-4 turns into 3-1.
When we reach the end of the round, the Crabominable that had been gathering... the cold around itself leaps forward and uses Avalanche on Melody.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It hits because Melody damaged the user. It has a damage base of 12, which increases to 14 because it's an ice type.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did it roll for paralysis?
It did earlier, yes, I said.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
No worries. Good to double check. So that does 67 ice physical damage.
Okay.
Yuck.
As it just leaps forward and slams all of that cold air directly at Melody.
Did 48 damage. I'm going to cash in the Salty Surprise with all kinds of buffs. So Melody is going to gain a bunch of temporary hit points. Melody is going to gain 31 hit points. Temporary hit points.
For once, immediately after doing that, Melody still has damage on her.
Mm-hmm. So, not often how that goes.
No, not often. That hit hard and heavily, and we are back up to the top of the round, which is Bernie.
Tall boy Bernie.
Wait.
Oh, I was looking at Bernie's speed wrong, but Bernie is still the fastest thing. I think you had speed.
He did gain 2 stages, one from the move and one from speed boost.
Yep. So. And when he came out first, he still would have gone to me. But yes, that works. Okay. Yep, so Bernie is still up.
How many Crabominable can I hit with a ranged blast 3?
Well, Crabominable are melee fighters, so all of them are adjacent to the people that they're fighting, but they're also near each other. Meaning, you could hit, the way it is set up right now, Bernie could hit 3 of them, but if he did so, he would also hit himself and Charlie. Or he could hit 2 of them and make his choice between hitting 2 of them and hitting Charlie, hitting 2 of them and hitting Professor Sneeze, or hitting 2 of them and hitting Professor Sneeze and Melody. Or he could hit 1 of them.
Let's have him hit 2 of them and Charlie.
Okay, the 2 of them that he would hit in Charlie would be the one that is holding on to Charlie, or that just tried to punt, or that just smacked Charlie on the top of the head, and the one that is trying to fight Rue.
Do you have to roll accuracy on all 3 then?
Yes, accuracy for all 3, and tell me which one you're rolling for each.
Okay.
So this would be let's
start with the one that is attacking Ruse. This is the first one.
Okay, that's Crabominable 1.
That is a 19.
That hits.
Ooh.
All right, let me roll the next one. Or would it make more sense to roll the damage on that one first?
Roll the next one, and the damage will be for all 3.
Okay, now I'm going for the Crabominable attacking Charlie.
Okay.
That is a 17.
That hits.
Woo!
And this one's for Charlie. Come on, give him a loan. Give him a loan.
Come on, roll low.
19.
Yep. That is a hit, and remember, Charlie is flinched.
Oh, okay.
You just flinched everything you hit. So, roll damage all of them, and everyone's flinched.
All right, that's 2d8 plus 38. Let me roll the d8 here. It's a 1 and a 6, so that's going to be 38 plus 7. That's going to be 45. Rock physical damage.
45 rock physical damage. Okay. The first Crabominable take 29 rock physical damage. Is not enough to give it an injury, but does some damage. The second Crabominable also takes 29 rock, which is enough to give that one an injury because it got hit by Bernie before. That one staggers and gets hit. And how much damage does Charlie take?
Charlie takes 35 minus 8, I think it is.
45 minus 8.
So it's going to... 45 minus 8, thank you. 45 minus 8. So that's going to make it a 37. I think Charlie does gain an injury at this point.
So you all watch as Bernie essentially throws a pile of rocks on top of 2 Crabominable and Charlie, and all of them start to dig their way out.
Well, that's Charlie's turn then, right?
That is Bernie's turn, and that is Charlie's turn, correct. So, because he is Flint. So, Ruse is up.
Okay.
Man, of all the times I have such, like, killer rolls.
Since Since talking is a free action, can Liliana say something right now? Or wait until it's my turn?
No, you can always talk.
Oh, okay. Hooray, I'm free. Then in that case, Liliana's just kind of going to look over the battlefield and be like, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. Grunge, can you please just tell them that, you know, we don't even have to fight, and that if we fight, we're gonna, you know, accidentally knock all of them out, and then they won't ever be able to see all those tall pseudo-wudo. Can you please just tell them that so that we can get them to stop and we can figure out where these trees are that we're supposed to be looking for?
Grunge looks at you and tilts his head, and then he lifts up one paw and places it, like, gently on your leg and says, fighting is how they make...
Oh, Grunge. Okay. I understand them kind of in that sense, but apparently you're not getting me, so that's okay. And then she's going to turn to Ruse, and we're going to have Ruse do. Yeah, I'll have Ruse try to do Fury Swipes again. 17.
That hits. Now roll a d8.
Yeah. Oh, a d8?
Yes, because to see how many times you strike, because it's a 5-strike move. Mm-hmm.
4.
Ooh. Damage base of 9, so roll 2d10.
15.
15, add 10.
So 25.
Yep. And then add Ruse's attack.
45.
That did 29 normal physical damage, which is enough to give this Crabominable an injury because it's one of the ones that was hit by the rock slide. So Ruse, as this thing's digging itself out, just starts clawing at it. And it's kind of like, hey, hold on a second. What are we doing? Wait. But it figures it out. And that makes it Liliana's turn.
Whoops, that's spicy.
Spicy suddenly takes the field.
Because, okay, so the one that was on her is off, and that's one of the ones that's gotten buried.
The one that was on Liliana is off and has been untouched so far.
Oh, that one's been untouched.
Yes.
I'll touch it. Poke.
Right.
And I'll do... Do I want to do that? I'll do Rock Smash on it.
Okay.
Ooh, maybe not. That's a 5.
That just barely hits.
Ooh, okay.
Mm.
These guys do not have high...
26 fighting physical.
26? 2-6?
Yep.
Rock Smash is 1d8 plus 6 plus 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Okay, so wait, that would be... 36. Sorry, 36. 36.
I was like, you rolled a negative 2 on your d8.
Yeah,
so
I would not.
Okay. 36. So that did 20.
I'm feeling nice tonight.
that did 20 fighting physical damage. No, it didn't. Sorry. Defense 20. That did 30 fighting physical damage because they are weak to fighting because they're ice types.
Hmm.
I forgot. So you went up and you basically just smacked it on the back of the head, and it kind of staggered forward a bit and then just kind of spun to look at you like, I know you're the second tallest, but I'm dealing with something else right now. That's kind of the look on his face. But Professor Sneeze, you are up.
The same one that we've been fighting, Professor Sneeze, is going to target it with a swift attack.
Okay.
And... Yeah,
well,
20.
You crit, wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Crit Ooh. With swift. Wow.
Be careful.
17, 37, that's going to be, 50 normal special.
50 normal special damage. That did 35 normal special damage, which is enough to give this Crabominable an injury.
Go on here. Right.
Shoot stars at it, kind of gets knocked back again as it's going through. This might be the most confusing day of this Crabominable's life. A bunch of things are happening, and normally being hit by Swift wouldn't be too bad, but after everything that's happened, it suddenly just noticed that there are stars coming at it, and you see it kind of like look up, like, no, it is daytime. What's going on? All right, good. That makes it Melody's turn, and I think we all know what she
is continuing to roll out at this thing. Well, I jinxed it. That's a nat 1.
Oh.
Oh, no.
This is not a great rolling episode for us.
It's really something.
I know what you're talking about. I got a 26 on 3 dice, so like...
Man, I was riding high that crit from the Swift.
You should have ride under the influence.
Never goes... Thanks.
I'm going to take Andrew Wiles' suggestion, and that one for accuracy results in the complete damage roll, aforementioned attack to the user, but the damage is treated as if resisted one step. This would stack with any natural resistor has. So, the way this plays out is Melody is zooming towards it and getting ready for this rollout, but in the middle of this confusing day, this is something that the Crabominable can deal with. An enemy's charging straight towards it, so it manages to basically do a perfect palm strike counter to reflect all of the energy back onto Melody. It's not the counter move, so it doesn't double the damage, but it bounces the energy back. So roll damage, it hits Melody, and she resists it one step.
Let's see, that's going to be 17... 32 rock physical, but then half of 32 is 16.
Defense, then weakness resistance.
Oh, defense first. Okay, 32 minus defense is 13, then divided in half is 7. Not terrible.
So, you know, another thing of a fluffy thing hitting something.
But yep. And then she sprawls out and her eyes are spinning around a little bit.
It is now the Crabominable's turn. Crabominable 1 digs himself out of the rock slide. Crabominable 1 digs herself out of the rock slide. Crabominable 2 digs himself.
She's a lady.
Crabominable 2 digs himself out of the rock slide. Crabominable 3 checks to see if she is paired. With a natural 20, she's not. Seeing all this going on,
it's good while it lasted.
It just got this palm strike and it swings around with a reversal. Since it has one injury, its damage base increases by one. But first, let's see if it hits. A 9 on reversal hits. That does 62 fighting physical damage to Melody.
It's going to be 43 damage, which gives Melody an injury.
That has happened.
Melody's been injured, everybody.
What?
This is not a drill.
And Crabominable 4 considers for a moment that Liliana just hit it on the back of the head, but then looks forward and realizes that the bunch of rocks that Bernie threw was way more impressive still. So it's because these guys are great, not the smartest, but it still goes forward and it uses Dizzy Punch is kind of like a spinning punch toward Bernie.
Okay.
Ooh, but Bernie is...
Not quite.
So it hits, just barely.
Quick question.
Yes?
Does the speed stage affect anything at all?
No. I just put the speed stage down. It did not change it.
All right.
It was a good question, but no. Just barely hits, so Dizzy Punch...
Yeah, Nick.
At this point, I should send all of my joke characters to you as boss fights and all of my boss characters to you as joke fights. That did 59 fighting, or normal physical damage.
Normal physical, okay. 59 normal, don't resist normal, so that should take off 8, so it makes it 5-1. Bernie has 3 HP.
Oh,
he doesn't have 8 defense.
He doesn't?
No.
No, Bernie has... he has 13 defense.
He has 15. How much was it? He has 15 defense because he has one stage up. It did 5-9, which brings it down to 4-4. He has 10 HP.
Thank you.
Still yikes.
But
he's in the double digits. Yeah. Really. But he is.
He does have an injury.
Yes, he does have an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Top of the round. It is Bernie's turn. Okay.
If that's the case, then here's what we're going to do. Before I forget, so Bernie's going to attack, and then Charlie is going to use Round a Trip immediately.
I don't want
Bernie out here any longer than this.
Attacking the Round Trip, so
I'm saying that preemptively.
Sounds good. Let him attack.
The one that's attacking Charlie has an injury, is that correct?
The one that is attacking Charlie has an injury, yes. Okay.
And are there any other ones that are within melee range of Bernie, or is it just that one?
The one that is attacking Charlie and the one that is attacking Bernie are both in melee range. Those are two separate. The one that is attacking Bernie does not have an injury. The one that is attacking Charlie does.
Okay, we're going to do a double kick on the one that is attacking... Yeah, we'll do the double kick on the one that's attacking Bernie.
The one that's attacking Bernie.
Bernie, yes. Okay. Yes.
So roll accuracy twice for double strike.
Ugh.
Another bad one?
One and 11.
One and 11. Wow, you guys are really, really rolling something at the moment.
It's something.
Okay, well, the damage is going to be just done by its damage base, so you'll roll the damage for double kick, but let me see if something changed first. Huh. Yeah, let's do that because this makes a lot of sense in my head. For Gregory Lopez, the attack hits normally but does minimum damage. If the attack is a non-damaging attack, its effects only last until the end of the current round. So basically, the first kick fouled up the second, so he hits with a glancing blow. So okay. With double kick, that means that you did 37 fighting physical damage because you rolled a 1 on the
d8. Okay.
So 37, that did 32. Fighting physical damage to it, which is enough to give that Crabominable an injury as well. So even after fouling it up, it still hits Bernie still does a solid kick to this Crabominable and then immediately disappears into his Pokeball, and that Crabominable gives a loud groan like, come on!
Nice job, Bernie! Way to go, buddy! And we're gonna send out... something that they won't want to climb very much. We'll send out Cuddles the Shelgon.
Cuddles the Shelgon?
You know, it's beach ball size.
Beach ball size. Well, there are big beach balls.
Let's see how close it is. It is a big beach ball. It's 1.1 meters, yep. So about 3 feet 7 inches.
Yep. So, yeah, you send it out, and you swear that the Crabominable gives you, like, a flat look like spoil sport.
I'm telling you, buddy, Turtonator.
Cuddles is on the field, and next round will go right after Professor Sneeze. So that was Bernie's turn. He is off the field. Charlie, yep. It is your turn.
Yep. Hey, Nick, quick question. I have light armor. That reduces my damage by 5 each turn, right?
It reduces your damage by 5 each hit. So give yourself 10 more
each
HP.
Hit. Okay.
Give yourself 10 more HP because you've been hit twice. You still took an injury, but you're doing better.
Charlie is going to try to catch the one that's he's currently battling.
Okay, the one that's battling him. Okay.
Yes. The one that is battling him. So we're going to... would you say it makes sense to put a Pokeball in my Yo-Yo-Ball stuff, or does it make more sense just to throw with the struggle attack?
Up to you. You are in melee range, so...
I am in melee range, yeah. So I'm going to say, with the one free hand, I reach into my satchel, I load up a Yo-Yo-Ball, and I throw it to do damage on the one that's right by me.
Okay.
So let's roll accuracy on this point-blank attack that I have here.
That is correct.
Oh, it's a 2.
It is 8.
So even though I'm able to, like, actually get it, it's kind of awkward because I only have one arm. I'm apparently not using my throwing arm at this time. And so I chuck it, but it just doesn't do the thing. It misses.
The Crabominable catches it with its weird claw and then tosses it back at you. Not hard enough. It just bonks you on the head. Doesn't deal any damage.
Oh.
But that is Charlie's turn. Ruse is up.
Nope, I can't do that because it's not the time. I'm going to have her use Scratch on the one that she's already been beating on.
Okay. That is a pass move, which means you can move up to 4 squares in a straight line after using it, hitting everything in that square, or hitting everything in your line.
Ooh.
If you line it up, you can hit both. Ruse can hit both that one and the one right in front of Charlie, stopping basically directly in front of Charlie. She can also slash Charlie if she wants to, but she doesn't have to.
Yeah, let's maybe not do that.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me.
I don't know if that will happen, though, because I rolled a 4.
4 on AC. Okay, so you missed the one she was attacking first. You can roll another accuracy to hit the other one, or to try to hit the other one.
Ooh. Okay, I got an 18 on that.
That hits, so go ahead and roll damage.
28 normal physical.
28 normal physical damage. That did 12 normal physical damage. So Ruse rushes across and she slashes at scratches at the one that has been attacking her, and it kind of dodges to one side, and she keeps on going over the ground that's been shaken up by the rock slide and slashes at the one that just threw a Pokeball back at Charlie. And so it gets caught by surprise and kind of gets knocked forward a bit, but it's still standing. And then Ruse kind of like loops back and behind Charlie. And as she swings back behind Charlie, she like turns back into her little girl form and like peeks around the side. Like, oh, protect me. But that makes it Professor Sneeze's turn.
All right, I think Professor Sneeze is going to try another attack. Shaboom. That's a 13 to hit.
13 will hit.
Okay.
Gross.
6. 29 normal special.
9. That did 14 normal special damage, which is not enough to give it another injury or to faint it, but it does a decent amount of damage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that one's looking more the worse for wear, too, and kind of... It was a little more wary of the multicolored light this time, so you only caught it at a glance still. Up and a moving. Mm-hmm. Cuddles does not go until next turn, so Melody is up.
Melody is going to defense curl!
Okay.
So she's going to curl up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Melody curls up. Mm-hmm. All right. That means it is the Crabominable's turn. The Crabominable number... Oh, yeah, that one's the one that's been going after Ruse. So it moves over, and it tries to move past Charlie to get to Ruse. Charlie, you do have an attack of opportunity.
Like okay, let's do it. Okay. It's just a straight-up struggle, right?
Straight-up struggle attack, yes.
All right. 14 on that struggle.
That hits. Go ahead and roll struggle damage.
All right, so it's a D8 plus 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1 plus 18, so it's a 19.
19. That does... 3 damage. So, Charlie, you go and smack it, and most of what you smack is just crab hide, but you feel like you might have done something other than bruising your own knuckles. But it scooches around, and it goes after... Yes, it goes after Rude. You know what? It's going to do another ice punch, because it, like...
Wait, how come I haven't had my turn yet?
Because I forgot to give it to you. Go ahead.
Okay.
That was completely my fault. I apologize.
No, that's all right. Good, because I wanted to return her since I already have Grunge out on the field and she's almost at half HP. Perfect.
So you return her and Grunge is now on the field. Okay, then that one, that is a completely different, it moved towards Charlie, so I'm going to have it just continue to do that. It and the other one are going to size each other up, but it realizes that the other one that's in front of Charlie is in a duel with him. So it shifts over, and it decides to use Ice Punch on Cuddles instead. However,
that's not good.
However, it rolled a 3, which means that Cuddles doesn't even have to move, and it misses.
Ah, good job, Cuddles. Yep.
Cuddles kind of gives Charlie a look like, what have you brought me? But this stays in place. What is this place that I have come to? But yes, it stays in place. Okay, so you returned and sent out. That would be your turn. So Grunge will go next turn, because Ruse already went... this fast of 13. Yes, that's what I thought. Okay. So that was Crabominable number one. Crabominable number two is the one that is fight with R. He's going to, in the middle of all this, he just got smacked by a Pokeball and threw it back. So he going to kind of get up, get into it, do some shadow boxing, and go for a power punch. Power up punch, I apologize. Oh boy. It didn't crit.
Well.
But it rolled a 19. So.
Yikes.
So it did 51 fighting physical damage to Charlie.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So 51 reduces by 8, so it's going to be 3. You can try it with 20 HP.
Hoofed up. Yeah. Oh, and it hits you, so its attack goes up 1.
Wonderful. Yes,
but that's it. Okay. Crabominable 3. Does it still get to move? It has been championing this paralysis. No! Its paralysis locks up, so Crabominable number 3 is not able to... Crabominable number 4 looks at the field, heaves a deep, weary sigh, looks longingly at the space where Bernie was, and then turns back to turns back to Liliana and aims a dizzy punch at her. Again, it didn't crit, but it rolled an 18. Which means it did 52 normal physical damage, and Liliana is confused.
Aww. Oh, man.
Well, We are back at the top of the round, and Charlie is the fastest.
All right. I actually might need to take a look at my bag here, because I kind of want to try and just catch it again, but also, if that doesn't happen, that's not good. That's not good. Inventory. Okay. The hyper potion. Yeah. Part of me wants to just take the hyper potion, but the other part of me is like, Charlie wouldn't do that.
Up but to you.
Charlie also isn't usually this low down in HP, so Charlie's just going to take the hyper potion and regain 70 hit points.
Okay. Charlie, does he drink it or use it as a spray?
I love that you have to ask this question.
Be a cool kid. Drink it.
Charlie chugs it.
That's what all the cool kids are doing.
Charlie discovers to his dismay that the reason that an energy root is bad for loyalty versus a hyper potion is that a hyper potion still doesn't taste good. You just don't have to taste it most of the time. But you do regain 70 HP. So you're okay.
All right. Excellent. Well, and Charlie makes a very sour face, like, oh, Liliana, how do you drink these all the time?
Sheer power of will.
Who's will?
All right, Liliana is up.
I don't know, but we fire at him all the time.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, how are each of the
Crabominable.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, the Crabominable that was trying to fight Ruse and the Crabominable that is trying to fight Liliana. All of them have injuries. Those two look pretty decent still. Mm-hmm. The Crabominable that is trying to fight Charlie looks the worst, and the Crabominable that is trying to fight Professor Sneeze and Melody only looks a little bit better, and it's kind of evened out because that one's paralyzed.
Okay. In that case, before I take any actions, Liliana is going to say to the Crabominable again, okay, you guys, look, we are going to knock all of you out before you're even going to get to see any trees and climb up to the highest heights. So yeah, you can either keep fighting us and get knocked out, or you can just stop and we can look for these trees together.
This sounds, this sounds like an honest plea, so I would ask for charm.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Oh, I'm not charming. I got an 8.
Don't sell yourself short.
8. Okay, the Crabominable that is in front of Liliana kind of looks at her and goes, you can almost see its thought process go, well, the tall thing's gone, so what am I doing here?
What's the meaning of it all? Like,
it's like, well, like my whole point of fighting was there was a tall thing, and now there's no more tall thing, and I already beat you because I stood on you. So I already have the tallest thing here. So you see it kind of back down a little bit. The Crabominable that is... So that one backs down. The other three are still too engaged in their other combats to deal with it. Like, you get the feeling that the one facing Professor Sneeze and Melody is in a duel. The one facing Charlie thinks it's in a duel. And the one that's going after Ruse... or was trying to go after Ruse is still too upset about the whole affair to really.
Okay. Well, at least I've got one of them down, so I'm going to go for the one that had been going after Ruse then.
Okay.
And because how is that one looking again? That one's still pretty
that
decent.
That one's doing pretty decent, yeah.
In that case, then, yeah. I'll do Rock Smash on that one.
Okay.
And I got a 15 for accuracy.
That hit.
And that's... 29
fighting physical. That did 20 fighting physical. All right, now it's looking just about as bad as the others, but it's still up. So you run up and smack it, and it kind of looks over at you like, what am I even fighting right now? Ah. You just see it like lift up its claws.
Yeah,
like,
you should listen to me.
But it's less like, what's the point? And it's more like, everything's after me. I must fight my way out. it's like the picture of like, I didn't hear no bell. Just like, but yes, all right. That makes it Professor Sneeze's turn.
All right. I'm going to slap a lock case onto a great ball and chuck it at the crabominable that we've been fighting. And that 20.
Wow. Okay. So if I remember correctly, when you roll a nat 20 on that, you subtract a further 10 from your capture roll. It's either a further 10 or a further 20. Let me double check.
I'll roll the capture and then.
I think it's a further 10. 20.
Further 10. Yes. Yeah, subtract 10 from the capture.
Okay. Roll. Well, I rolled a 5 on the die, minus 20 for the great ball and lock case, minus another 10. So that's what, -25.
Wow. Now the thing is, capture rates can go into the negatives too, depending on the Pokemon's level and a bunch of other things. But this one definitely doesn't. So the Pokeball hits this Crabominable, which was kind of like getting ready to go, and it kind of looks over, like it looks up at the lock case and the Pokeball coming towards it, like, this is something new. I don't know how to deal with it. And a red light sucks it in. Pokeball just shakes once. Ding! Congratulations! You have captured a level 33 female Crabominable. It has one injury and is paralyzed.
Okay. Got it. Woohoo! I got one!
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Sorry.
Yeah.
We're still here.
I thought you were. Sorry. My mouse just died.
Oh boy. All but, clear.
Why was there a gun cocking sound?
No, because they like
clear.
They charge it, and then they when they do it, they're like boom, boom.
Yes, there's a ch-ch-ch, but I just heard clear, ch-ch-ch, and I was like, wait, hold on a second.
No, that's supposed
very
to
different
be the
sort of medical care.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't really translate very well over audio, does it?
Quite work, but yeah, that was clear as in breach and clear. No, okay. All right, so that Crabominable has been captured. That makes it Cuddles' turn.
Cuddles, all right.
Cuddles.
All right, Cuddles is going to... Let's have Cuddles go ahead and do a... I'm going to have to do a Shadow Claw on the one that's... So this is a pass. I'm assuming it can hit the one that is attacking Charlie or battling with Charlie and the one that was fighting Bernie?
Yes, if you want to attack the one that Liliana just talked to.
Oh. Well...
That's counterproductive!
In the other case, it could also attack the one that just attacked Cuddles and the one that's attacking Charlie.
Let's do that. That sounds smarter.
Okay.
So the first one will be for the one that is attacking it.
Okay.
That's a 5.
A 5 with Shadow... That is a pass? 5 with Shadow Claw. That hits. Just barely.
All right. I can imagine. And the other one's a 14.
That also hits.
All right, so we'll do 2d6 plus 31. That's 10, so that's 41 ghost physical damage.
41 ghost physical to each of them. Okay, that did 25 ghost physical, which is enough to give the first Crabominable another injury and faint it. 25, I said?
25.
And enough to give the second Crabominable, just enough to give it another injury and faint. So Cuddles looks back at Charlie like, what have you brought me into? And then just kind of looks forward and you see him somehow, despite not having shoulders... You can see Cuddles squaring his shoulders like, all right, I'll deal with this. And then just leaps forward and spectral claws come out and just slash down at the two Crabominable. And they both kind of turn. And you feel like if they had thumbs, they would be like giving a thumbs up. Like, oh, that was pretty good. And then they both just topple over and are unconscious.
Part of me wants Charlie to use one of his capture spells moves, like the false strike or whatever it is, to put it down to 1 HP. Mm-hmm. But given what happened last episode, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That would not be cool.
Okay, so yes. So they both topple over. So the one Crabominable remaining on the field, I'm assuming that Professor Sneeze and Melody will not be attacking. Sorry, Melody will not be attacking in this moment. Or Grunge. Grunge and Melody will not.
No, Melody, in fact, is going to use Wish on herself.
And Grunge just kind of sits down and looks at Liliana and goes, see, friend.
Yeah, real friendly. Yep, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your help, Grunge.
You're welcome. See, so that one Crabominable left on the field, it looks like just like slightly crestfallen. Like he was like, oh, there was a tall one and it is gone. I didn't get to climb it.
Hey. But you know what, though? Liliana's going to go up to him and she's going to be like, you know what, though? If you come along with me, I can help you find even taller things to, you know, try and take down in the future. We've seen some pretty tall Pokemon, like way, way taller than Sudowoodos even.
Are you telling the truth?
Yeah.
Give me a charm check then.
We have. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Ooh, I got an 11.
Okay. The Crabominable looks like he's considering it, but he holds up one paw towards you. He's like, hold on a second. And then moves over towards Professor Sneeze and imagine a Crabominable trying to mimic the shape of a tree. Or specifically a Sudowoodo. Like raising its arms, kind of like tilting itself.
Keep trying, buddy.
Through those things. And it kind of like looks at Professor Sneeze questioning, like, you're looking for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it kind of,
yes, that's correct.
It nods to itself and it starts moving back towards the forest. And after a moment, it kind of like waves one of its big claws for you guys to follow it.
We follow.
After you all get about 15, maybe 20 feet under the tree line, you realize that the path behind you is now trees. And after just a little bit more, you realize that all the trees are smiling at you.
Yeah. Hello.
The Crabominable that did all of that goes in. There's other Crabominable that are kind of hanging from a couple of the trees. And now that you're in this area and you can see it a little more, it's starting to be more... From the look of Sudowoodo, you would assume that you could pick them out if you were paying enough attention. But this little grove proves that they actually are pretty good mimics.
Mm.
And so there's Crabominable hanging from either the trees or the Sudowoodo. And the Crabominable that's been with Eric goes and it climbs up on top of what you could have sworn was a tree until it turns and like taps the top of it and eyes open and a big smile comes up from it. And then the tree walks towards you and kind of looks at you smiling with the Sudowoodo smile, like just kind of waiting for your response.
Hi. We'd like to enlist your help.
Well, Sudowoodos are short.
Mm-hmm.
They're short. I never
way
knew
shorter
that.
Than they should be. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyways, carry on.
Just right in the middle of this conversation. Whoa, you're short.
Wow, you're so short.
You're tiny.
Can you believe how short they
just
are?
Just under 4 feet. Good grief.
Imagine if you came with me.
Okay, yeah, and the Sudowoodo is just kind of looking at you and smiling like,
That's so creepy.
You may or may not be aware of the campers out by the oil rigs out there, you know, where they're living, and they would like it very much if you would be able to help them out with some of the other Pokemon that are around. If that means you just let them through, that's okay. Don't get in their way, and maybe prevent some of the other Pokemon that are causing troubles. Because you'd be really good at that. There's some Scolipede around, and you know, you can handle them pretty handily, I think. What do you say?
The Sudowoodo continues to stare at you for a few moments longer, and then turns to look at the Crabominable on it. And the Crabominable kind of sighs. It's just having a disappointing day, and climbs down from it and kind of moves to one side. It's weirdly taller than it when it climbs down, but it still kind of goes all this. And then the Sudowoodo turns back to look at you. And one of its, like, branch hands comes down and comes up carrying a giant rock, which the other hand points at you, then points at the rock, and the Sudowoodo shakes its head. Then it kind of looks around for a bit, and it sees, like, a Caterpie going by in the forest, and it points at the Caterpie and points at the rock and nods, and then kind of looks at you like,
Don't hit people with rocks. Hit Pokemon with rocks. Yes.
The Sudowoodo kind of looks at you again, and then it points to Grunge that is still out, points to the rock, and looks at you like,
No, this one is good. Not the Pokemon that are with people.
You begin to feel this thing like it is being very patient as it once again points at a scurrying Caterpie, then at the rock, and then nods like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Hit that with a rock.
Uh-huh. Do it. Please do it. Please do it.
The Sudowoodo drops the rock to the ground and extends its other hand. Almost, it looks like it's like trying to shake hands with you.
Yes, I shake
halfway
its hand.
Through shaking its hand, you realize you're shaking hands with a tree branch.
What? You're good. You're very good.
The Sudowoodo just smiles and then just like blends back into.
Thank you. Any mission accomplished? What do you think, folks? Should we head back?
I think we got our point across.
I was expecting it to just, like, smack the Caterpie itself.
All of a sudden you hear, like, a few feet away, a thunk.
You just hear a thunk. You saw it looking around for a bit. It was trying to find a bug-type Pokemon to point to. As in, it understands what a Scalipede is.
Good.
Okay. Then yeah, I think we do we head back to the camp then?
Yes.
Liliana, do you leave completely?
I don't think the Crabominable wants to be with me, so I'll leave it be.
Crabominable kind of is looking at you as you go, but it just kind of waves.
Wait, did it want to come with me?
It was considering the offer, but it had other things to do at the moment, so...
Oh, well, alright, whatever, it's fine.
Yes, you don't want it, it will stay then. Okay, alright.
Okay. Be free!
So, you're heading back, and as you head back to the camp, you are met by Duke Porter. So, good. I was just coming to check in on you. Everything, and he kind of looks at Charlie especially, who has been smacked around quite a bit, and Liliana, who's gotten a couple good hits. It's like, everything all right?
Did you know that potions don't taste good?
Yes. That's why you usually don't drink them.
Liliana just shrugs. Yeah, we might need to heal up a little bit again. If you could help us out with that, please.
Yeah, I got a couple places. I got a place nearby for you to take care of. I was kind of hoping you'd be able to stop before heading out, but it looks like you might need a little bit of a longer rest. But let me put it this way. Like, I'll get some things. I got a couple things in place for you to grab from that tent and a couple things. Just more supplies, a few, and some poke, some other things there. I figured you'd want to go before someone... finish sending the message to the futurist that you're here.
Why are they doing that?
And who would do that?
Well, personally, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm more... the oil rigs are useful for the funds that I need, but they're not the place that I need to, but they're offering a pretty lucrative price for any sighting of the three of you, and let's just say some of them are a little more suspicious than they need to be.
Our costume is really that bad? I mean, I changed contacts and everything.
From a distance, and when unspoken, you look fine. It's just, well, mannerisms are a little harder to change than dress, shall we say.
Great, I gotta pretend to be happy.
Well, if you keep on moving west as you are, you're gonna have a little more of a space. You're right near the edge of the desert at this point as it is, so...
Okay, well, we'll keep going that way then.
All right, well, take your rest, and if you need anything, well, I suppose you can come check in, but the sooner you're out, it might be the better for you.
Makes sense.
All right. Yep. Best of luck, I suppose. Can't do much more.
Why Thanks. Are you not going to, like, hand us over if you can get tons of money for this?
There's more to life than Pokemist.
Ooh.
I don't know about that, but okay. I appreciate it.
Shots fired.
To each their own. Well, have a good day then, and I'll be on my way. Luckily, I'm not the one doing all the planning, but I've got some things to take care of still for this whole mess. Best of luck. And with that, he heads back towards the camp, and I think that's where we'll end for the day. So thank you all for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestryradio.org/Pokemon-rollout, on Twitter at PokeRollPodcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/PokeRollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Tap Room. As long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join in the conversation with creators and fans and become a part of the Pokemon Rollout community, especially join our Discord from there, where we do a lot of talking there. Also, follow our network on Twitter at Tapestry Radio. Yes, it's still Twitter. And check out some of our other great shows at tapestryradio.org, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check the other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Nick, and you can follow me on Twitter at PokeRollNick. Sort of.
I'm Paul. You can find me on Twitter and actually on my phone. I still have not updated it. It's still Twitter on my phone. You can find me on Twitter at ProfSnag. And yes, come hang out in our Discord. We have lots of fun there. Right now, as we record, the hot topic of conversation is the Pokedoku puzzles that happen daily. So come, and if that's still a thing, come talk to us about those. Those are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget shoutouts.
Oh, what are our shoutouts? Yes.
Oh, do I have shoutouts?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
One of us has.
Been okay.
Has
one. So editor, you're gonna long. Have to.
So I'll start quick. Apologies. So I have shoutouts for Autumn and April Art and Jack Cullen. Thank you all so much.
All right, and thank you also for me to our wonderful patrons. We have a couple new ones. We have Snarfle Bark and Wern the Patronizer. So thank both of you for giving me some wonderful names to say. I'm glad I didn't fumble on those. Those could have been awful. But thank you both for being our patrons and joining us.
Mm-hmm. I'm Michael. I am also on Twitter at MGLILIENDHAL. And I also would like to give shout-outs to some new patrons, Brandon Smith and Zach Parsons. Thank both of you for your patronage. We really appreciate that.
And I'm Lydia, and I really don't use Twitter or X. so you can still find us, though, also on our Instagram at Pokemon Rollout. And I would also like to give a Patreon shout out to Inteleon Spy. Liliana would absolutely approve of your username and that you are giving her more money. So thank you.
The more I am noticed, the more I must be. You can follow me on Twitter, as it were, at Behind Your Eyelie. That's Behind Your EYELI. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollouts, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially please rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeRollPodcast, and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Audino, Peter Stadmuller, Kyle Albert, Andrew Case, David Harshman, Taylor Bonforte, Micah Greenspoon, Michael, Matt Carlton, Askablod, Froxus, Jeffrey Show, Legendary, Casey DeFritas, Jack Parsons, Scotty Newton, Ursa 93, Terry Faust, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Julia Egan, Lauren Polson, Nathan Hemmelgarn, Jack Cullen, Big Fat Nuke, Snarflebark, Brandon Smith, Wern the Patronizer, and Autumn and April Art. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough. We really appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Yep. Takes two full deep breaths to get through all of our patrons.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto
offered
you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
TapestryRadio.org.
From our fancy to yours.